Let's see, where did I leave off? I get off the what were we talking about when that thing snapped off?
Well, is that your reunion?
Yeah,
now
the reunion.
Back where was it?
It is in Fairfax County, out of Washington, D.C. It's only 22 miles out of Fairfax, out of Washington, D.C. And the old Dulles Airport's on there, just 6 miles out.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he, and he said, guy, he said, some of these now people here are going to be here tonight. Not all white. He said, they might call the uncle, so they'll think anything else.
True.
Yeah. And so this gal down here called me Jefferson, and I thought that she wound up with any Indian blood.
You know, you're going to buy me some?
I'm not too sure of him. She said, I'm finding that out as I make a search on the carpet.
Were there any blacks in Beaverton in 1920?
No, we wouldn't let one come into town. We wouldn't even let a Chinaman come into town.
I thought there were.
Probably not let the sun set on them.
I thought there were some Chinese gardens.
Not that I know.
They built the railroad, didn't
they? Well, that was before my time.
But well, the Chinese did build the railroad.
Well, I guess they did. The railroad, yeah. But no, we had mostly everything was allocated out here. And then
yeah.
Swiss over in over Cedar Mills way.
Bethany.
Over in the Swiss, yeah. I did a lot of business in that. And the ITED Institute, Southern Factory College.
We mentioned the Bee Gees and the Pianovis.
Pianovis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Anita's a friend of mine.
Yeah. I was Grand Marshal when she ran for Miss Oregon.
Oh, yes.
In 48. I got a picture of me on my horse down at CSAC.
Wonder what brought the Italian.
What about them?
What brought them?
Oh,
necessarily.
This rich ground.
Rich, the rich
and,
soil.
And boy, they just took over. And over here at the other side of Tigard, in that flat there, too, the same breed of cats. And the Fannos over here, of course, they had that rich ground down in there. They didn't have to be cleared. No trees. It was all beaver dam. The same as this right here, all of this.
This flat area.
Here, St. Mary's and on down through there was just rich ground. Now some of the St. Mary's had to be cleared. Yeah.
Sure.
We had log trains coming through Beaverton on the average about 3 a day from the coast going in the port. Big, long log train. Southern Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the red electrics and the railroad car barns was right out here where Reeser was located.
Reeser's?
Mm-hmm.
Right off 217 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was no 217.
No. I have to ask you this, were there still beaver around in the 20s?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Beaver. Yeah, they damming the creek up there right and left. But that's what. That was all right because all these Italians wanted to flood that whole area in there. We used to hunt ducks. Well, you see water standing right down there.
Sure, I sure do. I see a lot of water.
And
that's looking west.
Yeah.
Towards Cedar Hills.
And of course, a lot of it's been filled in off down where beaches and now they haul it in and improved the ground. I had to fill in here on this building here. It's 11 foot of Quarry Run Rock.
You had to put 11 feet in?
Yeah, it was all beaver dam.
Sure.
Yeah. And the salvage got my body shop back there. I'm going to say it's at least 15 feet above the flood plain.
Well, it looks like the newest development is the Fred Meyer Shopping Center.
Yeah.
Is that just all flat marshy land there also?
Yes. It was all Grand George on up where the wrecking yard used to be and through there. That and he grew onions and
asparagus?
Onions was the main crop. I forget now.
I know celery was raised in Cedar Mill.
Yeah, the celery, the Chobans.
They
had the celery. I sold them a truck in the early days.
Oh, you did?
George remembers that. And his uncle is still alive.
Now, George is an antique car buff, too,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Packard. He's mostly Packard now.
Mm-hmm. He's Packard. Mm-hmm. going to mention something else. Early day entertainment.
Well, there was no entertainment. I thought a dance is good. Dances, we played baseball. We always had a baseball team. I have to tell you a story that you'll get entertainment. Yeah, that's all right. We made our own entertainment. You know, you had to. You couldn't go no place. It came about in your locality, the dances and baseball. And baseball, everybody would come out to see us play baseball. And I was a pickup, a shag boy for old W.E. Pig when the people would die, go with him. And
Pig and Paxton, the funeral parlor?
Paxton, no,
but Pig, I mean Pig.
W.E. Pig. He had the first bank here.
Mm.
That reminded me, I'll tell you another story about an old car later on. But anyway, that stayed in one.
Okay.
Carl Dessinger, that's another German family that lived here in town, Catherine Dessinger, she just passed away. She was a great friend of Merle Davies.
Oh, I see.
And she was in the bank for years and years here when Doy Gray had the bank. That's when the bank went down. It shouldn't have gone down because the bank paid out 8 cents on the dollar 5 years later. That's when I got some of my few dollars back. But anyway, she was in old time with the Destiny. And I sold Carl a Model T, used the Model T, and he painted the thing gray. And we called it the Greyhound. And we came down to play ball right where the U.S. Bank is. The school used to be right there where in that triangle.
Tell me where, more specifically, where are we? Where was the bulk diamond?
Well, you know where the First National Bank is.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right there.
Right there.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, we're playing ball, and I think we're playing Weedville that night, if I remember right. My job was first base, and Carl was catch. And he could really burn me up with that ball. He had an arm on him, and gosh, he could throw the ball. And old Peg, great big guy. Peg was an enormous man. And he couldn't drive an automobile. And when I first was there, we had the livery stable uptown, and we took horses and went out and picked up the stiffs at night. And it was horses. And he just lived across the street too, and I would hand in an old Peg, knock on the door, God, we got a stiff. And I'd get up and go with him. And this time, he come down, he always walked with a cane, and he always whistled. He was a character. And tapped on his. Motion to come over, he said, we got a stiff to pick up. And he says, one of the Shellburger boys got murdered up there in this log camp where this road went up to the well.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a little old wood cutting up on Vista Hills there. And they were cutting big trees down, making cordwood. And they got drunk, they were spices. And they just loved their liquor. And they had their own still up there. And they got into an argument, and one guy just took a shotgun and shot him right in the stomach at close range. And he said, can you go with me and help me pick him up? So I said, Carl, let me have the old Greyhound. I didn't have my car down there. It was the only car there. He said, oh, go ahead. And he had the top down. This is the spring of the year. Turn to it. So I cranked the old thing up and crawled in the old Peg, and the fence didn't go up there. Go in this little old shack, and there the guy was on the floor, dead. And so we pick him up, and there was an overcoat on the wall, and he laid that down on the bed, an old bunk there. Picked him up and laid him on there, put his arms in the sleeve of it, and then there was a hat on the wall. So he picked that up, and Peg just, he's a great big guy, and just got the guy. He wanted his coat around because he didn't want to get blood all over him, see? And so he put his arm around the guy, and I went out and got the old Model T fired up. They crawled in the back seat. And this highway wasn't through here then. You turned off right here.
Canyon, you mean? Or
Broadway.
Broadway, okay. Yeah.
There was no Canyon Road then.
Mm-hmm.
And I got well right along down through here. Peg says, oh, call him by his name. He knew. He said, he'd like to see the rest of the game. So stop. And so I pulled him behind the backstop, see. And You hear, he was sitting up there just as like an old thing with his arm around it. And I went to first base, and of course Carl knew, and he was missing me. Every time he swung around like this through a ball, he was looking right at that, and he knew that was a dead guy. And he was missing me. Boy. And that's something unusual for Carl. He put that little thing in, I didn't where it belonged.
Right.
He about run me to death out there trying to catch that.
Got all shook up over that.
Yeah. So he finally motioned me to come over. He said, tell me, is that the stick in there with Peg? I said, yeah. He said, every damn time I swing around here, I look at it, and that's the reason I can't hit you. He said, get him out of here. So I didn't. We left the game was over. So I think I put the stiff up to the
mortuary.
Uh-huh. Took care of it.
That's very classic story.
Yeah.
So you played baseball.
Huh?
You played baseball.
Well, yes, you can say that again. And plenty of it.
Uh-huh.
We had our team every summer.
You said you played.
Cornelius. Forest Grove, Hillsborough, Reedville, and I think Gaston had a team too, as I recall. We called ourselves the Bush League.
Mm-hmm.
They just come out of the bushes. all around, you know. And going here to Gaston was quite a deal in those days, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
That would have been.
Now, 10 minutes or 15, you'd be down there. It'd take a couple, 2 or 3 hours those days to get there.
You mentioned fishing. Did you like to fish?
Oh, right? Yeah. All the time. Still do.
Where did you fish here?
Well, we went down Wilson River and Trask and all of those and went over the old Stagecoach Road from Gales Creek over down to Wilson in the early days. The stage started up at Gales Creek and went to Tillman.
Is that the old Wilson River Highway? Was that the same?
That's part of it.
Part of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Part of the old road's still there.
Mm.
That's Stagecoach. Your horses and wagons.
Mm-hmm.
Those days.
Do you ever go up to Mount Hood, Guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
remember my father telling me that was quite a rough.
Oh, yeah, an early day. Yeah, toll gate Barlow Trail at the toll gate there, and we had corduroy road down here on Canyon Road down there at the bottom too.
Mm-hmm.
My stepfather, I have to tell you a good story about him. The Fords shipped in here and we had to assemble them. They weren't together. We had to put them together after they came in. It was all knocked down in crates and whatnot.
Was that common?
Yeah, it was common. And well, my first car back home was 1912. I and a nigger Jim put the thing together.
Your cars, when you had the Ford agency, they came in unassembled?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. How'd they come in?
Well, in a boxcar.
On the rail, on the Southern Pacific here?
Pacific.
You go down?
I had an unloading dock up there right in front of my garage.
Oh, I see. And they would drop off these boxes?
No, they wouldn't drop off. The boxcar roll in there, and we had to unload them.
I see.
And take them out and the garage and send them. So anyway, Ford put in the assembly plant over here in 1920. On 11th and Division, I think. I might be wrong on the Division Street. 11th, I know. Then they started assembling them there. And we picked the cars up to assemble them. So this, we were building what they call a farmer sedan for the people out in here. You mind Stark? They had one of them. They used it to go to the market. They had chickens. Barnes family had chickens. And they'd take the eggs to the market about every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday we had a buggy seat that they could put in and curtains on the side to roll down, and they could use it for a passenger car to go to church or whatnot on Sunday. And we built a lot. We had hand build the bodies. I think it's telling the story.
Assembling.
And we had assembling here up to about 1920.
Mm-hmm.
See, my folks started this dealership in 13. They My stepdad was a mining engineer, and in Colorado. That's where I was born, Telluride. But they shipped me out of there. My folks separated when I was 4 years old. I had my brother, and I went back to this old plantation in Virginia. My grandparents. But anyway, my mother married again. She married Otto. He lost his wife, they went in 1910, I think it was. There's three fellows, Colburn and Brown and Otto. They each one put in $75,000 a piece and went into Old Mexico and bought a silver mine. And out in Nogales. And of course, Otto being a mining engineer, he ran the Tomboy, the Silver Bell, and the Smuggler Union on Telluride. He was the manager of those three mines. And they went down there, and an old villa came in 1912, and with the point of the gun, ran them out. And they had a half a carload of dynamite on the sidetrack, and as an air gauge, and from Nogales, 35 miles up, they had to build their own railroad.
Oh, wow.
Up to the mine to get the stuff out. And so the old villa was on the rampage then, and came in and such a coke pit of fire, and then just gave them an hour to get clear. And this dynamite was on the half a carload of dynamite on the narrow gauge railroad there in the Nogales. It was all downhill in the Nogales and gravity. So they kicked it loose with a fuse. And the guy knew what he was doing. He went in the Nogales and just blew that town from off the map. And gave my folks an hour to get down
out
at the point of the gun, and the soldiers, you know, and they turned the horses loose, they had some animals and whatnot, and picked up some of the personal, and that's why I brought them here. They came to the Elks Convention. he was in Colorado, he belonged to the Elks, and the Elks Convention was here in 1912.
In Portland it was, that's what they
called. Elks Convention.
And then he settled out here in Beaverton.
And so he went up to Council Crest. They had that old electric train that went up to up Council Crest, and he overlooked this valley here. And he knew he had to do something else. The automobile was just beginning to show up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Emil Renz over Sherwood had the dealership. I was the only dealership in the county in Model T Ford. So he, being a Swede, old Emil was Swede, and Swedes, you know how to hang.
And Otto was a Swede.
And Otto was Swede, so he went over and bought Emil out and moved the dealership to Beaverton.
And he had the Forest Grove as well?
Yeah, later on, yeah. Mm. Later on, but Beaverton was the first branch in 1913. And so then when I came out here, and in 1923, I got a hold of the Beaverton branch myself, the model, ran the building.
Mm-hmm.
This is his building that went burnt down. Wasn't mine. So that takes care of that part, and that's how they located here.
What a story from Mexico and
yeah.
silver mines to Beaverton, Oregon.
Yeah, Beaverton, Oregon. Never made enough money to get out of town.
And they stayed.
Still here.
You said you had a story about old Mr. Pegg.
Oh,
and the bank.
Peg, yeah, I'll have to tell you another story about Peg. This, the first time I ever saw a flashlight. And now, when we were out in the service, we didn't know what a flashlight was. They never issued flashlights. And they were just something new. And I, as after the war, before I saw a flashlight. And so Peg, we had horses. And most of the time, and this is in November, I never up to get as long as I live. And if the road was gravel from here to out there, I just went out a celebration of the old guy and his 100th birthday at Kenton. Well, there's a road takes off there and goes down on the Taunton River and called the New Jerusalem Road. And at the end of it, Max Welder, one of the welders that got me the pump, his brother was farming down there and clearing land. But he came in and for lunch. And when he went back, he took some more cement, or dynamite, and caps, and put them in a sack, and on his back, and on the way back, and nobody knows, but they went off, and blew him to pieces just all over the place.
Mm.
So we went, it went at night, and Peg had a flashlight. And he rolled his pants up way up here, and he had
this
long
is,
underwear.
This is now sock. Getting another stiff, right?
Yeah, getting another stiff.
All right.
And pieces of
pieces of
stiff. And they had a gasoline lantern out there. So we went around there picking up what we could and put in the basket. But going down this 2 miles down to the old Weller place where he was killed, there was mud that deep. And Peg rolled his pants up, and his white socks and his white underwear with his flash, and he was up front, and I'm back here with the basket on the rear end, see? And if he hadn't had that flash, all I could go by is those white socks I could see, you know? And we picked up what we could, Bob, and he'd have strung all over the place there, the dynamite, you know, and brought it out and got home by daybreak the next morning.
So you helped Mr. Pig pick up bodies?
Oh, yes, for a number of years. He couldn't drive.
Oh, that's right. That's the reason. Why couldn't he drive?
Well, he was too damn big. We didn't have a car to fit him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. We'd have to build a new automobile to fit in. If he'd ever learned how to drive, he didn't like that.
Was he about your age at that time?
Oh, no, no. Oh, well, he was... Oh, at that time, I was just a punk kid.
Yeah.
Let's say he was in his 60s.
Oh.
Maybe 70s. I don't know. See, I'm say 60, 65.
And you were in your 20s. Is
yeah.
this where you were at that time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any more stiff stories?
Oh, those are the two main ones. Another one, I didn't get in on that one, but I heard about it. And old man Newman. Out here on Huber Avenue, which is 170 now, the old Newman place. He evidently had a slight stroke or something. In those days, you had to call the coroner. You couldn't move a body. Now, like Maxweller got blown up,
mm-hmm.
and this up here,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't do anything until the coroner came. And that was what happened with old man Newman. The coroner came, pronounced him dead. And they brought him in. I didn't get in on that, but they brought him in with Pegs and laid him up on the slab. And the old Peg was going to preserve him the next morning. And when he came down the next morning, he'd gone home.
Oh! He walked off the slab?
Yeah, got off. He came to. He walked, and walked home from off out here. So, I didn't see it now. Listen, you'll have to take my word for it. I'm just telling you what it was told to me.
Say, were there any Fanos around?
Oh, when I came here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fano family. We used to ice skate over there on their pond, and it goes over a few times. The old time was, they knew how to skate. They made monkeys out west playing hockey. Gosh, I thought I could skate, but I didn't know anything about it.
Where did you go to dances?
Oh, we had Morse Hall right here where the drugstore is. I got a picture of that too, upstairs there. And Huber built a dance hall, the old commercial club building at Huber, which is Parker Furniture. I bought the property. I think that's in there now. And then we went to Cedar Mills with the old Union's church, or it's not a church, a schoolhouse. We went there, Hillsborough, in the park up at Hillsborough, Park in Hillsborough. Oh, we made the circuit.
Did you ever go up to the Haskell's barn or farm in Cedar Mills?
Haskell?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't ring a bell. Carl, now that's another strike there over there. Carl Hamill.
Oh, Carl. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the Finley's.
They're neighbors of ours. I live in Cedar Mill.
Oh, do you?
In fact, I wrote the Cedar Mill history. Did you see that book?
No.
I'll give it to you.
Did you get the old mill, sawmill is up out of there? Yeah, and just to show you how, well, I sold tractors to all those people in the early days.
Sure.
And Blatter, is the name Blatter ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay. He raised goats. And he had a goatee, too. He was a spicer. And goats would have a long, and then
he
grew one. They would call him the old goat. And then, Vetter, and Fred Vetter, his name Vetter. Well, I'll just show you how honest people were. You couldn't do it today. It's just, they don't know what that is anymore. I sold Fred Vetter a tractor and a thrashing machine. He went around the country thrashing his horse and tractor. And he still owed me money for it when the war came. Well, during the Depression, he said, "Guy, you just well come get it." Well, what used to come get it? I said, "Fred, nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's got any money. I can't sell it. So just let us set here." And he owed me maybe $400 or $500 on it, something like that. I don't remember now. And he got a job, he and his wife, in the shipyard during World War II, and came and paid me.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had quite a few people that I had tractors and I couldn't pay for them, but they said that's the only one that can pay. Mm-hmm. Now that's kind of
cool. That's
the Bowers?
Yeah, they're my neighbors.
Okay, I fact, Henry I did. Bauer and Cliff and all of them, I sold them tractors.
Did you?
And Jake Jenny, I sold them tractors, and I sold I had the big J over there.
Murray, Joe?
Oh, Joe, yeah, I have to tell you about Joe. That was funny. I'm glad you brought that up. He was a bachelor. He had chin whiskers like they do today, you know. Very few people have those chin whiskers, but old Joe, he rolled his own cigarette. So this tractor I took over there, I had to demonstrate, you know, everything in horses. And a tractor, and nobody had ever seen one, let alone dry one. Well, I'd have to demonstrate, and there's only one seat on the thing.
Right.
And we'd get him in the fur and get going. And Joe had this roll-my-own cigarette in his mouth, and a blast of air from the fan came back, and he caught his whiskers. And I was off quite a ways out here watching him plow. He jumps off this tractor, you know, and he grabs his hat, and he just then let the tractor go, you know. He didn't stop it, he took off. Well, I had to catch up with the tractor, right. You know. And I thought the first thing was he caught out of yellow jackets' nest, which is true. You could do that, and boy, those bees get at you like that, too. Well, I thought that, but no, his whiskers are on this side of his face. I never really caught a fire and brother there. He really burnt over Joe. Chin whiskers and this short one, the old cigarette.
Did you have any trouble talking farmers into tractors?
Well, you had to sell. You had to sell. Mm-hmm. You had to demonstrate. Just like cars. Here's something. Here you'll be. This is how I sold stars. I do this on this thing here the other day, showing somebody. This is a Star automobile. And this with this wheel would be down here. And four-speed lubrication, of course, you gals don't know what four-speed lubrication motor, but all the modern cars today are four-speed. In those days, we had splash feet. And if you went up a hill, steep enough hill like Cooper Mountain with a Model T Ford or a damn Chevrolet, it'd burn out the front bearing, rod bearings, always. It was just a constant going uphill. They didn't get any oil. But the little Star came out with a four-speed motor. You could put it on end anyway, and it's still got lubrication. Well, I made an A-frame here up, here on the two wheels, and put the crank hole. We had a crank hole, and it was right at the end of my nose here. And this Star car here, Coopster, is a coupe, and the door came down here like this. And I'd run that thing around and hanging my head up, show that what lubrication. That was steeper than any hills there. And run it all over. And I had to demonstrate to sell cars.
You had to actually get out and sell.
Well, actually get out. Nowadays, they don't know what selling is. They just order takers and wait for someone to come in and wait on them.
Right. That's but you were selling a new product, a new idea.
I guess it was new. Yeah. And then in 1926, I and another fella helped to run from here to San Francisco, or Oakland, rather, Oakland. With a Star 6 in 1926, in 18 hours and 35 minutes, never heard of it. At that time in February.
From here to Oakland, California? Mm-hmm. In February?
Without stop, nonstop. Now, Ellen, if you gas up, mm-hmm. and Standard Oil Company. Yeah. We average 45 miles an hour. And we had snow, mud,
yes, you must
everything.
Have went up over there.
Yeah. So that was quite a trip.
How about the Stuckeys? Did you sell Walter Stuckey any?
The Stuckey family. That's another Schweitzer over there. I remember them, but I don't think I had. But maybe, you know, if some of those names come up, but I did sell. And it was a big family over there, and I sold them tractors. And then after I cooked Ford, I took on the international line, and I sold them. And I'm trying, Al was his first name, the big family of boys over by Rock Creek. His farm lady, Al, I just about had it. Lehman's. I
sold the Lehman's,
Yeah. And I sold John Lehman, the car and tractors, and Bowers. All the bar, they said they had them.
Yes.
And then the wives were on the tractor.
I've got pictures of the Bowers.
Have you?
And the wives out working and.
And he worked in town, and his wife cranked that damn Fordson tractor up, and the Flints too. The old Flint family, Harry and A.B. I sold them tractors, and the women ran the tractors while the boys.
What was the next closest? Tractor dealership.
What's the closest?
You, and then who was the next closest?
Well, I'm Timbuktu.
Timbuktu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have to service them? You have to go out and service them?
Sure, I had to service.
I know Stark's Garage service.
Well, Stark's Garage wasn't heard of.
Until the 20s.
Later part of the 20s.
That's right.
Were you joking about Timbuktu, or?
Huh?
Yeah, he's joking.
Well, there was no other dealership.
Well, I see. Well, there is a Timbuktu.
I serviced your own tractors.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I took a Fortune tractor. I got pictures. I sawed it up, and they had cast iron about that thick by hand and show all the working parts. And I got this tractor, this truck. I had an old Federal truck. I put the chassis up there. I took the wheels off. And then I took a tractor out to the farm. There's Sweet over there. I'll think of his name in a minute. But it was the first demonstration that I put on. And the farmers came. They'd put on have a place, and they'd furnish the meals. You know, the farmers were all around, and I'd go to one place and demonstrate. Well, they could be looking over this tractor working though. You know, a tractor was new, unheard of. And they'd be looking, I'd be demonstrating. John, I'll come up with his name in a minute. And demonstrate that. That's the way I had to do. Nowadays, they come in, 70% of the cars are bought here, the women, and all they do is look at the damn color and the upholstery. The rest of it don't mean nothing.
Yes, I have to admit that. That's
yeah,
right.
It's not, there's no fun to it anymore.
The mechanics are not important.
No. So anyway, John Lundgren was the first demonstration. I brought the tractor in that night. And in those days, I left the truck out there and with this display on because I was going back the next day. Well, I didn't want to walk home, so I bought the old tractor. And it do about 15 miles an hour.
Oh, really?
Because we had mud roads and the lugs didn't mean anything, don't they? And I came in and they were, and that was 1919, and they're just starting to put this highway through. Canyon Road. And a Holzman Brad truck got stuck. And so they came to the garage and wanted to know if I had anything. And I was just coming in the tractor, and I said, I'll go down and put you out of this Fordson tractor. So Tom Miller, he'd been down there with a Denby truck, and it had solid rubber tires, he couldn't even budget. And so I hooked on to it, and turned the thing over backwards on me, and broke my hip and ankle.
Ooh,
the thing
wore
it over backwards. Those days, they had a worm here. And they did it, but we didn't know it. That was the first tractor that came to the state out here. We had it.
And that was what kind of tractor?
Fortune. I had Ford then. So that I had the learned the hard way. And they caught, if it had been gasoline, I wouldn't be here. It had burned up because it kept running upside down. I had distal on it, and distal wasn't very close to that gas.
Did you have any other major accidents over the years?
Oh, I have.
With cars and or tractors?
Yeah, I laid in the hospital 15 months and broke my back.
How'd you do that?
Fishing.
You must be a big fish.
Oh, it was. I walked across an old abandoned log bridge over on the hill, and the board came away, and I'd be down about 25 feet.
Oh.
And broke my leg. My back.
Yeah. Who was with you?
No, by myself.
How'd you get out of here?
Well, that's a good story. I was on the opposite side of the river. It was in June, and I was paralyzed. Just as soon as I broke my back, I was paralyzed. But my arms, I could use my arms, but my legs from here on down, I was paralyzed. And I was in the big rock, big as this desk, and brush, and went up in this bridge over the thing. And at a high water mark, I was about 10 feet from the high water mark, and there's sand and rock embedded in the sand. And after I came to, I don't know how long I laid in there, unconscious for a while. I came to, and by getting a hold of something and pulling, it took that pressure off my back, always killing me, just the pain. And of course I couldn't walk, and my legs was gone. And I worked out of these stones that studded in the sand, and I got out on the sand there, and got in the sunshine. I went into a shop, that's cold. And I lay there, and I didn't have the slightest idea how to get out of it, because I would have had to go up on this bridge, and the board broke and let me down, see. And across the river when I was paralyzed. Well, there's a woman fishing on the other side, not at the time of the accident, and she came up the other side. And I hollered over to her, and the only way I could keep from blacking out was to hang on to something and pull, take the pressure off my found out. And told her that I'd had an accident. Well, she didn't want to believe me. She thought I was up to something else. And I said, well, would you go out and walk out on the bridge, and you'll see that board is broken. I broke my back. She did, then she went and got her husband. He was down on that side, see. And so went and got him, and he came over and treated the two of them. He got me in the car and brought me into the hospital.
Mm, that's a terrible experience.
And I had 3 body casts on him, and 15 months. I was paralyzed for 2 weeks, and Dr. Kimmer says if you don't get your feel back in 2 weeks, you'll be paralyzed for life. And every morning, the nurse would come in and give me a bath and take a comb and comb the bottom of my feet and see if I could feel. Well, I never did feel it. And at the end of 2 weeks, the same old thing. I'd already resolved. I was going to be paralyzed for life, And this nurse that morning combed my feet and didn't say anything. She just grabbed me around the neck and gave me a big kiss and took off. And I didn't know, I didn't feel nothing. Pretty quick, here came the interns and the stretcher, and my toes had twitched, she said, like that, when they combed. She knew I was going to be all right.
Excellent.
And they picked me up and operated on me.
What year was that, Guy?
1947.
47? What hospital were you in?
Good Samaritan. $11 a day.
$11 a day?
And my wife now had an operation, and I don't know how many days in there. And then they wanted me to sign some papers before I went in. And that's what goes on, your hospital. $86 a day. You could get that from the Argonian. I don't know. I didn't read it after I went to Argonian. I gave it to them all months before.
But was it a couple of weeks ago that they printed?
Oh, it's three weeks.
3 weeks
maybe
ago?
Maybe three or 4 weeks ago. I just don't know. It was in there.
Mm-hmm. What was the first bank here in Beaverton?
Peg, 1910.
Where was its location?
Right there where on Watson Street. and Farmington, where they get those two mannequins or whatever, you stand out there. It's kind of a, I don't know what kind of a shop you call it.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
All right. And
well, it's
It wasn't much
it's
bigger.
It's a gift shop.
Yeah, the thing of the bank was, you know, about three times the size of this room, you know. And Peg had it. He opened the first bank. And then Doris Gray came to town in about 1919, I think it was, and he bought it from Peg. And he operated out of there up until 23. And then he built the building across the old, where Jay Gibson was, the old bank, across in 1923.
What was the first, what was his grocery shop?
Well, Katie, Manning. Well, the first, now listen, I can't give you the first that I wasn't here.
The first that you can remember.
Oh, well, Katie, I believe it was the first.
Oh, well.
I think the Katie building, see that old brick building there, it was a Katie building. That was built in 1911. So was the Fisher building, built in 1911. Mm-hmm. That's known as the Rossi, big little Rossi's, had the farmed over here. They loaned money to build the building, and then Fisher lost it. Old Fisher, our mayor, you remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've heard it. You've heard it.
Yeah.
And anyway, they lost it to Rigdon. And that building was built the same year as the Katie building, a brick out of brick. Or Dean Drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I think the first cook. Now, no, Pender. Wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of Pender. When I came to town, Pender had a grocery store where the bank building, where Doy Gray had built the bank building. Yeah. I sold old C. Mason his first car and taught him how to drive.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And he left it running.
Now, wait a minute. You had to demonstrate cars. You had to
teach them to
really
drive.
Sell them. You had to teach them to drive.
Sure.
There was no driver's education in those days.
No. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up education, driver's education. Bob handled it like $1 million. I've furnished cars for that driver's training for maybe 30 years or longer. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And so this year we're pulling the rug out from under them. Not going to do it. So they're upset about it. They call in here the other day. And they said, why? Well, I've taken my beating from last time. And it cost me nothing but money. And right now we're scraping the bottom of the barrel and not staying alive either. So, Bob, I gave him brownie, but he says, tell them to go see the foreign car dealers. They're making money. We're not. Maybe they'd be faster. Now you see foreign cars in the driver's
ed.
Yeah.
Okay.
We find pretty sure about six cars a year. Mm-hmm. High school. But not this year.
But not this year.
Mm-hmm. Can't afford it.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Those cars cost, our cost on them about $8,000 to $9,000 a piece.
Is that right?
That's right.
My goodness.
Well, that's on the national level, isn't it? Things that have been given to people.
Yeah, and they expect it. They expect it. And I don't think much of our education system either. Don't get me started on that. We just had an ad here about a month ago for a girl in the office and young people. And I'm not in favor of hiring young people. I just really not hire young people. But the office manager, Colleen, after working for them for 32 years, as a little French girl, and she thinks you have to give young people a chance. So I don't owe them nothing in my book because they're never any good to me in the first place. They won't stay. You can't depend on them or a damn thing. And turnover, it costs you to break them in and whatnot. And so she wouldn't listen to me. She hired. She went through, I think, 12 applications to find one girl to type. Mm. Now that's our education system. So, Well, we had a dozen, and she lasted 1 week. So now we got it, and went through the application. I said, anyone from 45 to 50, if there's any there, forget it. And so we got a lady now, and she'll be with us. She knows what a job means, and she knows how to take care of it and be on time, and this, that, and the others, they could give a damn. Show up when they want to. And that goes for the young boy. We won't hire young people around here either. Because they should pay me to work for them because they're no good to me. You can't depend on them or a damn thing.
Yeah?
I was on the school board here.
Oh, you were?
And I figured, I mean, Mike Metzler, we had schools that the kids were getting educated, and that proves the day I can point my finger. I went to a reunion here this summer and took old Mike. You know Mike Messler? He was superintendent for years.
Messler of Beaverton. Okay.
And boy, he ruled with a club. And boy, those kids respected him, and they couldn't get him to come to the reunion. And so they called up. And it's over at Romer's Rest, and my kids, that's another class one time. And I hadn't seen any of those kids in a long time, 30 years or 40, whatever. So they said, can you get Mike? And every time I restored a car, I'd go down the car and Mike and take him for a ride. He's had several strokes, but his head is still working. So I go by, and I just got finished. See, I don't have a picture of it. No, I got a brand new car. It's going through the mail now, 35 over in Booktown. And I went by and I picked Mike up. And I said, Mike, we're going for a ride. Oh, he just loved to get out. And I helped him out and got him in the car and whatnot. We went around all over Cooper Mountain, Bird, you know, the old building and whatnot. King City, went through that. Ended up over at Romer's Rest. And he said, where are you going now? I had to turn off the main road. I said, there's a beer joint down here. And how'd you like to have a beer? Great idea. Well, he didn't know where this reunion was. They couldn't get him. So I get down there. And, well, plenty of beer. No, I don't think there wasn't plenty of beer. And those girls, when I brought that daggone guy back, he looked like an Apache Indian. Who's out there? The hell out of it. You know, he couldn't get out of the car. Now that's what, and now he, since he's out there, our education system in this county, or right in the school district, beer was lousy in my book. Now, you can't spell it or arithmetic or anything. Nobody knows anything. They can't write, you can't read their writing. And that's one thing, when I went to school, you learned from arithmetic. Spelling, I was never any good. Arithmetic.
You said you can't spell.
I can't spell. I just can't. Arithmetic and writing, I still got a good claim for it. I got good. Now, my second wife, you can't read her writing. Now, Mildred had a beautiful handwriting. One of my daughters, you can't read. But I sent her a damn typewriter. I said, for Christ's sake, type your damn letters. I know you know how to type so I can read them. Mm-hmm. But the older one, she got good handwriting.
Now, when Beaverton was, before it consolidated,
all of this.
How many grade schools were there?
Well, we only had Merle Davies.
One.
And the high school.
And the high school. And the high school drew from all over.
Yeah, and then I was on the board when they got the C.E. Mason School.
Mm-hmm.
I got that location. More Joel, he was a Czech Joel. Joe, that'll come by. I got that location from my protest school. And the Merle Davies, my picture's in the northeast corner of that when they ever tear it down. I won't be around when they tear that building down. But it's in the northeast corner. They dedicate that.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
37.
Mm-hmm. You have mentioned pictures that you have.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote this Cedar Mill history, and I'll send you a book of it, because I think you'd be interested. Carl Stark is in there, and Byron Stark is in there.
Byron. Uh-huh. Yeah, Byron's still alive. I see him once in a while. And then, or ribbed him by the time he tried to run over me.
Right.
he came into the shop. I taught him how to drive. Now, his family wouldn't have anything to do with it. And he and I are the same age, Mark. And I was working on a car. In those days, you were salesman, you was janitor, you were bookkeeper, you was parts manager, you was the whole thing. And I was down in under this old Model T working on it, and he came in through the door and didn't stop it and hit the... I was laying on a creeper and he hit the car and knocked the car clear of me and left me laying in between the two cars. Did you get to talk to Barn by any chance?
I talked to him on the telephone, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
Well, ask him about that. He'll laugh.
Yeah, I bet he will laugh.
He said, I tried to kill you, but I couldn't do it.
When we interviewed people for our Cedar Mill history book, they let us borrow pictures, and then we reproduced them and made a file of them for the museum.
Oh, for the
Washington County Museum.
Oh, Washington County Museum. I got some tickets here. You're going to have one.
Oh, a Raise the Roof dinner?
Yeah,
is that
what? Yeah. Something in Hillsboro. I want to go to that, but I don't know if I can sell the tickets at $50 a piece.
I know, they're $50 a couple. Yeah,
a couple. So I'll try.
Okay. Would you allow the society or the museum to reproduce your photographs?
Oh yes, they don't damage them.
Absolutely, that would be guaranteed.
Oh sure, definitely.
Because that is so vital to have that, a record, like
George Jace, he just passed away a year ago, and I went down to Eugene to see him, and by gosh, he passed away a week before. They had him in the convalescent home. He's the same age, and he was a pilot.
He was one of the 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, those pictures of the early airport and the planes. The early cars, any early Beaverton photos you have?
Yeah, I got some of my dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Right, my crew.
If you would allow us to reproduce them and then return the originals to you.
That's all they're good for. I've got pictures that I took in flying in 31 of Beaverton up to, Fred Meyer started this. The date, I don't know, I could, World War II, I had a plane over there, I kept, and World War II, and after World War II, yes, I think I got some pictures of this area. I've got all of those pictures.
Oh, that you flew, took aerial photos?
Yeah, every year.
Oh, my.
And the growth.
My goodness.
Wonderful. Yeah, I've got that, and I have to tell you about that album. Fred Meyer's first start, this over here, you know, 16 years ago, or 17.
And then it sat.
Yeah. And then it shut down.
Right.
Well, they had a big fat Jew out of New York, the shirt, the national shirt outfit. And he heard about these pictures, see? And Bob's uncle, my son-in-law, uncle was the manager of the in San Francisco. Of the national shirt, so he got his uncle to come up here with him, and right downstairs it happened, and I had this album, and I showed him the pictures of growth. He was making a survey of this area, you know, as to what from 31 every year. I'm pretty sure it's every year, but they dated anyway. See the growth, and. So he said, well, could I have these pictures taken back from the home office? Well, I didn't like the idea of letting those pictures get out of here. If I'd had duplicates, and what I should have done, use my head, but I wasn't that smart. I'm telling you, I'm not that smart, but I'm smarter right now than that damn Jew. And for 16 years, those things were the boss. I tried everything, the national pressure, and in the meantime, Bob's uncle died. And one day, about 2 years ago, maybe it's three now, there came a package back to me. And I took the rubber, I was smart enough on every picture to stamp the back.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And they came through, nothing at all. And just marked personally, they threw it on my desk. And laid around here for a couple of days. Finally, I opened it up, and there's my diamond.
Ah, you got him back.
Got him back. Boy, was I ever glad to see that, because I started in 1931, I think, the first picture.
Mm. Good.
So, and let's see other pictures, other pictures I got.
You mentioned in our conversation that you had pictures off and on. I didn't write it down. But the airplane, I know you mentioned airplane pictures. Bernard's
Airport.
Mm-hmm. And the other one over on Erickson?
One on Erickson, yeah. There was no name. We just put airport in.
Right.
So we could sit down.
Right. Oh, you know, pictures of Broadway, early Beaverton Main Street business district.
I haven't, but I tell you, the library, the library in Beaverton, and they brought those pictures to me. And there's a lot of them I recognize, and I'm going up there and put dates in the people.
Oh, good, to identify some that they have.
And I take the wife, she can run a typewriter, and we type on the back, and then take the clear plastic and put on the back.
Good.
There's a lot of them, they don't know what it's all about.
No, that's right, and you can identify them. But out of your private collection, so far, has anyone made copies of them for history?
Not that I know.
I think that's what I'm asking you that we should do.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, maybe, as long as I get them back.
Right.
And these airplane pictures, now they're big, you know, I had those. I took
8x10?
Yeah, I took a fellow up with me. But he'd take the pictures while I didn't. Yeah, but otherwise, I wouldn't just like these pictures here. There's one of them. They're both of those right here.
Right.
Same thing.
This one here, too.
Yeah, I took a little and took the picture. He did, all I would.
Is that about the 50s? 60s?
Oh, no. That picture, I had a used car shed. I tore it down and took it out of there now. That's about 56.
Okay.
About 56.
Because those are just residential homes.
Well, I can't see the light shining on from here.
Oh, okay.
Right here. Now, this is the old theater, you know. The drive-in theater.
The Bee Gees?
Bee Gees, a bunch of them bought that up.
Yeah,
and they sold it. Now they're going to develop. They're talking about developing.
Yeah.
All right. This is the trailer. That's Jack Meek's trailer park here. Now this is all filled in with apartments here. Now my property goes across this ditch back here.
Oh, okay.
And before you have people.
Huh?
Frame those. Why don't you put the dates on the corner or something?
Yeah.
Oh, the pictures?
Yeah, on the outside.
If I were you, before you get them framed.
Well, anyway, I've got quite a few pictures. Now, I see that's a good arrow.
It's excellent.
There.
It's very good.
And then, let's see. Well, that one is, that's the oldest one there, right there.
This here, huh?
Yeah, and then this is a later, see?
Oh, yes.
I added on to here. And here, see?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
What year is that then?
Oh, 50? 50. Well, 51 or 2, and I'm a body shop back there. You see my body shop?
Yes.
Well, it's a different ball game altogether, and I've got that ground in the back leveled off and filled in.
Yeah, because it's bumpy there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got that. I've got 5 acres in here all told.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the footage? The frontage on Canyon.
Oh, I know.
It's a lot, though, isn't
it? It's a lot, yeah.
Who did you purchase this land from?
The Rossi family.
Oh, the Rossi.
And the Walker family.
When did you buy it, Carl?
Oh, back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
40 years ago.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's the William Walker.
Huh?
William Walker family?
Oh, no. Bill Walker. They were Walker Road. That Bill Walker over there. No, this is a Walker family. Lived right in next door and had the old house, and I had to tear it down. Well, in fact,
Different Walker,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is Rossi here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we've done marvelously well.
Well, you're taxing this computer of mine.
Well, your computer did not shut down.
All the names coming up, like old John Lundgren. I haven't said that was my first demonstration in the county.
And what year was that?
1919.
Okay. But see, your computer has not broken down. At all.
Sometimes I think it has.
I'm curious. May I ask a question?
Okay.
Oh, sure. You were telling about how to get up to Hillsboro.
Yeah.
And
I'll draw you a picture, map of it.
You said you went out farming to Rock the Road, to Shaw Corners, and then to Reedville, and stayed on the south side
of the track.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they use that a good bit in the...
Well, the highway wasn't through.
Then this was what year? About what time was that?
Well, 19 up to 1920. They finished the
TV highway
in 21.
Oh, I see.
The TV highway.
Yeah.
Was
not on two lanes.
TV in 1921. Mm-hmm. So they were still using. That's the old Astoria road along there, you know.
Well, the old road it wasn't the dividing line.
Well, I don't know, but Beaver
Baseline.
I think they call it baseline.
Yes.
As I recall now, I could be wrong on that. But he went by the Ladin Reed Farm.
Right.
Yeah. And.
But I didn't know they'd used. I just wondered when they quit using that old Astoria road.
Well, when the new highway went in.
Yeah. Well, that's prior to 21. Then, yeah, that's interesting.
And about 21, I think it's about time they completed the highway.
What could I find out too? This Raleigh station and Raleigh Hills. Who do you?
Raleigh. That's the Red Electrics, and that's just called the Raleigh Station.
Yeah.
There, where the bridge cuts over to go to Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and they were named for a Raleigh family.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
That was before my time. Yeah. Now Glenn Cullen. I'll tell you about Glenn Cullen. How that sprung up. Junius Myers was governor of the state then, and he appointed my stepfather, Otto Erickson, as tunnel commissioner for the state. And he's the one that wanted to bring out 6th Street instead of over the Twilliger and cut through the hill and come out at Glen Cullen. Now, there was nothing there at Glen Cullen until this started. And then as soon as it was approved, the war came on. Right after that, and the project was just dropped. You see, there should have been a tunnel right out. You come out 6th Street and come out to Glen Cullen. And Glen Cullen wasn't Glen Cullen then. I think Juris Meyer was 1930, I'm pretty sure, that he was appointed as tunnel commissioner.
Mm-hmm. What was your
stepfather's
name?
Erickson. I'll have to tell you a funny story about Otto in the early days of the Model T. And we built those farmer sedans. We had a blacksmith in those days. You know, you just had to make everything. You couldn't run the parts department if you made your parts. And the old man's Snipe was our blacksmith. But anyway, Otto. This factory over here in 1920, and he went in and bought a chassis. They brought it out of a chassis, no body on it. He sat on the gas tank, and he took a cushion or a coat or something, so, and left over there about 4 o'clock in the evening, I guess it was, afternoon, and got down here to the corduroy section on the Canyon Road and stopped, put water in it, a horse trough there, you know, those old things get hot. And fill up the radiator and gets on and starts up this corduroy road and got the bouncing sore, and it bounced him off, and his pants caught on the emergency brake and pulled his pants off, see. And he had long underwear on, and it is in the wintertime, rain, and the car went on up the road a ways before he got off the corduroy and he got stuck, see.